This morning we are continuing our series on the fact that Revelation 21 verse 5 says what? Okay, we should have had a better response from that. Well, this is our fourth week. Revelation 21 says that God is making all things new. And I'm excited. When I planned this whole series, today was a bit of a landmark day, I felt, for us as a church. And so we've got this morning and then we've got this evening. And it's going to be a bit of a two-parter. So if you can get yourself here this evening, let's fill this place and let's allow God to do something amazing in us. So we'll get the teaching this morning and some of the experience and then some more of the experience tonight, okay? It's going to be absolutely incredible, all right? So let's make sure we're here this evening. But I can remember when I was 14 years old, sitting in a hall that if we ran a youth camp there right now, it would be condemned. But we were sat in this hall, and we were just a load of young people just together, and there was some worship going on, and we'd listen to the preaching, and there was a guy called John King, and one of my favorite preachers. And America stole him. I was a little gutted. And he preached and he talked about the Holy Spirit. And so there's a lot of young people out at the front and they're all being prayed for. And I was sitting. I can picture the room. I can picture where I was sitting. And unfortunately, I can picture what I was wearing. It was the 80s and my mum enjoyed knitting. That's all I'm going to say. All right. So I can picture where I was sitting, what I was wearing, what the room was like. I know the song that we were singing, okay, and most of you in here wouldn't know that song, but a few of you would, and you may start to sing it if I say what it is, so I'm going to keep quiet. And I was just sat there, and there were all these young people out at the front, and they were all trying to get to the man of God to have him lay hands on them and you know, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can remember just sitting there going, God, I want this, but I want it between me and you. At 14, God, I don't think I need to go out there, even though that's sometimes a good thing to do. And I just can remember sitting in my chair and just going, okay, God, I love you. You're my savior. I've been baptized. God, now I would like to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I can remember just sitting there, and the power of God was so strong in that room. And I can just remember sitting there, and all of a sudden, these words began to bubble out of my mouth. And God began to fill me with the Holy Spirit. And what I want to talk to us about today is I want to talk to us about being filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to us about what happens when we ask God to come and fill us with the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to do it. Because I actually think part of God making all things new in us is God coming and filling us with the Holy Spirit, not just so we can have a nice, happy, clappy time in church, but so we can actually go out and do something with it, which is what I'm going to talk about a little bit later on. Mark 16, verses 17 to 18 is our key text this morning, or one of them. And it says this, and these signs, this is Jesus talking, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. I'm not quite sure about that one. Okay, and they will drink deadly poison and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. It says in that verse, they will speak with new tongues. And that's what I want to talk to us a little bit about this morning. Acts 1 verse 5 says this, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, this is Jesus talking just before he goes up to heaven, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk to us this morning about what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, when God sent Jesus, he sent him to make all things new. And then this is what happened. Jesus said to his disciples, I came to make all things new, to make a way so you could go and be with God. Now I need to go again, and I need to make room for the Holy Spirit to come. So Jesus went back to heaven to make room for the Holy Spirit to come and do then what he needed to do. And do you know what? There is a journey we go on in our faith that will take us to this empowering by the Holy Spirit. So I don't know where all of you are at in your journey of faith this morning. I don't know where all of you are at with what you think about the Holy Spirit and all of that kind of stuff. Well, all I'm going to do is tell you what the Bible says and then let God do the rest. Okay? And wherever we're at this morning, my prayer is that actually we will be a people who desire something more than what we've ever had before. We will be a people who desire God to make all things new. And part of that is God coming and filling us with the Holy Spirit. You see, being filled with the Holy Spirit is different to becoming a Christian. Right? Let me just explain this a little bit. Okay, when Jesus had risen from the dead so we could then gain access and be a friend of God, a bit like James has been talking about this morning, and we can become a Christian, we can say to God, God, I'm sorry for all the things that I've done wrong. Will you come and will you be the Lord of my life? And we become a Christian. And what happened when Jesus rose from the dead is he went to his disciples who had been with him for 3.5 years. And the Bible said he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, what was happening at that point, because when we become a Christian, our spirit begins to engage with God's spirit. And so when we become a Christian, because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are one person in three different parts, okay, but they are one. When we accept Jesus Christ, we also accept God the Father, and we also accept the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit gets involved in our life the moment that we become a Christian. But the baptism in the Holy Spirit is different to that. Okay, so the moment I became a Christian and really got serious with God at the age of 12, okay, when I accepted Christ into my life, the Holy Spirit became a part of who I was. But it wasn't until I was 14 years old that I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and that was a whole different experience. And I want to try and explain, before we get into the ins and outs of the Holy Spirit, I want to try and explain kind of the difference between that. In Acts 2, the disciples and the apostles and the believers were told to gather together in an upper room because they were going to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because John had baptized in water, but there was something different coming. Because we could now be friends with God, God wanted to fill us with the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's different than when we just get saved. It's different than when we just become a Christian. The word baptize means to immerse or to dip into. And for those of you who've been baptized in church, that is what we do. When you're baptized in water, we get a big pool somewhere and we dunk you under. And then if you pay us enough, we bring you back up again. And that's called full immersion. You see, I don't personally believe that I can take a baby who is a few months old, put a little bit of water on its head and pronounce them a Christian. Actually, that's their decision to make as they get older. And so we dedicate children, we don't baptize them, because we actually believe that baptism is an immersion. It's where, you know, it's full immersion, and that would be really, really not good to do to a baby of a few months old, okay? And we could get in trouble for doing that, and rightly so. So we wait until people have decided that they want to follow God, and then we baptize them. And the Holy Spirit, when we're baptizing the Holy Spirit, it's a similar kind of thing. Okay, it's not just the Holy Spirit coming on us. It's the Holy Spirit. It says being absolutely immersed in the Holy Spirit. And I want to try and explain that in a little while this morning. And if you read the account in Acts chapter 2, everyone is up in this room. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and filled them. And what happened was they prophesied. And they spoke in new tongues. And in the kind of church that we are in Assemblies of God, okay, we believe that an initial evidence, so an evidence that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, is that we speak in tongues. And I want to talk a little bit about why we do that later on. Baptism in the Spirit was enabled because of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And then Jesus went to make a way for the Holy Spirit to come. And if you look in the Old Testament, because a lot of people kind of say, well, what about the Old Testament people? Because they were amazing men and women of God. Did they not have the Holy Spirit? Well, what happened in the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you this, is that the Holy Spirit didn't fill them in the way he would fill us today. It says this. I want to take two characters from the Old Testament, okay? The first one is Samson. So some of you may know the story of Samson. He's the one that grew his hair And when his hair was long, he was stronger than anything. They tried to capture him and tie him up and all that kind of stuff. But every time they went to get him, he would break through the ropes because of this strength that God gave him. And Samson was this amazing guy in the Bible. And you can read about Samson in the book of Judges. But it says this in Judges 15:14. As he approached Lehi, the Philistines came towards him shouting. Then the Spirit of the Lord powerfully came upon him. The ropes on his arm became like charred flax, and the bindings dropped from his hands. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. It is different than when, you know, we're told to wait on God and the power of the Holy Spirit will fill us. In the Old Testament, the power of the Holy Spirit came upon people for certain purposes and for certain things. But what Jesus has said we can have is a life that is full of the Holy Spirit every day of the week. You know, not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day of the week. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, wants to comfort us, wants to guide us, wants to empower us. And we can have that every single day of the week. In 1 Samuel, we read the story of when Samuel went and anointed David to become king over Israel. And it says this about that account. It says, so Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. This is King David. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. There is a difference between Old and New Testament where it comes to the Holy Spirit. Before Jesus died, the Holy Spirit would come upon people. After the death and resurrection of Jesus and after Pentecost, okay, the Holy Spirit would come and would fill us to overflowing. And so this morning, I want to really hopefully inspire each one of us that we can live a Spirit-filled life every single day that we are on planet Earth. We don't need to live a life without strength. We don't need to live a life without comfort. We don't need to live a life where we just keep battling things time and time again. The Bible clearly tells us this in Acts 1 verse 8, it says, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. When the Holy Spirit comes and fills you, and we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, we have the means by which we can live every single day under that strengthening and that empowering. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I find life hard enough. I have no idea how I would do it without the Holy Spirit and without God strengthening me. A.W. Tozer, who's a great author and preacher from a very long time ago, said this, the Spirit-filled life is not a special deluxe edition of Christianity. It is part and parcel of the total plan of God for his people. Yeah. The Holy Spirit's not an add-on to our faith. He's not an add-on to our Christianity. He is and has always meant to be very much a part of our faith life, very much a part of our everyday existence. It's not an add-on for certain special people. The Holy Spirit is available to anyone who knows God. So it says this in Mark, in our key text this morning, that they will speak with new tongues. And I want to look at that today because we are a Pentecostal church. And not just in name, but also in experience, hopefully. And we are wanting to take that experience even further. And what I want to do just in the next few moments is take you through why speaking in tongues is so important. It may seem really weird. You may kind of go, God, what is going on here? Okay, but there are certain reasons why it's important. And I want to explain that to you this morning. And then we're going to pray at the end. So are you ready? Three reasons why the Holy Spirit is really important. Three reasons why speaking in tongues is really important. Number one, it builds up the believer. So when you speak in tongues, it builds you up. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 4 says, he who speaks in tongues edifies himself. When we speak in tongues, it builds us up, it encourages us, and it strengthens us. It's not something that you can fully explain, but as we use the words the Holy Spirit gives us rather than our own words, something happens inside our spirit. Yeah. I was brought up in a very Pentecostal church, and as kids and young people, we used to try and copy all the adults. And there was this one lady who used to speak in tongues louder than everybody else. And so, like, we would try and copy her. She was an absolutely amazing woman of God. And just part of the reason that I have the faith that I have was her. But at times when we didn't fully understand what all this Holy Spirit stuff was, we just used to try and mimic her. And it was hilarious trying to listen to us say what she was saying, because none of us could do it. And we used to just fall about laughing, and it wasn't the Holy Spirit kind of laughing. It was just like, we just can't do it. And then all of a sudden, we got to the age where we began to understand the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit began to fill us. And we all of a sudden begin to realize why she did that. Because actually, it builds you up. As you're praying, it builds you up. It strengthens you. It edifies you. Our spirit engages with God's spirit, and a supernatural exchange takes place. When I begin to speak in tongues in my devotional life, I exchange my weakness for his strength. I exchange my inadequacy for his power. There's an exchange that takes place as you begin to become built up in your spirit. It is so important that we, as, you know, spirit-filled Christians, realize why we do the things that we do. Speaking in tongues brings life and encouragement into your spirit, and it is the overflow of the Holy Spirit in you. You see, I said that the word baptize means to immerse and to dip. It also means to overwhelm. And what happens is, when God fills us with the Holy Spirit, it's not meant to stay inside of us. It's not meant to be a feeling. It's meant to spill out of us. And this morning, that's the kind of experience that I'm talking to you about. And one of the ways the Holy Spirit overflows out of us is through our mouth. Yeah. And through this thing that we call speaking in tongues. And this morning, you know, I want to come and suggest to you very strongly that actually this part of our Christian life is so crucial. Okay, if you want to be built up, there's not always going to be someone there to do it for you. And actually, as a Christian, I've had to learn, and as a leader, definitely, I've had to learn to build myself up in the faith. And one of the ways that I do that is part of my devotional life is speaking in tongues. When we pray in tongues, we can only say what the Holy Spirit enables us to say. And if it's the Holy Spirit doing it in us, it will always be edifying, it will always be praiseworthy, and it will always be honoring to God. Always, because the Holy Spirit can't do anything but that. And so this morning, one of the reasons that we speak in tongues is because it builds up the believer. Secondly, is it's a powerful prayer language. I don't know about you, do you sometimes come to pray and you haven't got a clue what to say? Anyone else like that? You don't have to put into words sometimes what you want to say to God. And so in those moments, I just hope the Holy Spirit's going to take over. And it's a great prayer language to have, okay, when you don't always know what to say. And when we pray in tongues, there are a few things that begin happening. Two things that I've got for you this morning. Number one, we pray in perfect agreement with God's character. We pray according to his desires and his purpose. You see, God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are the same person in three different forms. So they're not going to disagree with each other. The Trinity is not a split personality, okay? They're not going to, there's not one of them going to say this and another one going to say this, and they're going to disagree with each other. So when we speak in tongues, when we speak in a prayer language, we pray in absolute agreement with God, because the Holy Spirit's enabling us to pray. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think I pray and God possibly doesn't agree with everything that comes out of my mouth. But when I speak in tongues, he can't disagree with me, because that is the Holy Spirit enabling me to pray. You know, a lot of the time in the office on a Sunday morning when I come down early and I'm praying, I pray in tongues because I realize this: every time I come even to pray, I come with my own bias. Okay, so let me just explain that a little bit. So I'm thinking about some of the things that I preached on. So last week I preached on having a hard heart, right? So if I came in my office 8:30 last week and I was just praying and I began mentioning people. So I can always pick on Paul, okay? I don't think this about Paul at all, okay? So you just need to know that before I say this. But say me and Paul had a little bit of a to-do in the week. little bit of fisticuffs, okay, in the week. And say, like, you know, we'd been talking about worship stuff, and I'd said one thing and Paul said another, and we had a bit of an argument, okay? And I was preaching on, you know, let's not have a hard heart. And I was praying, and maybe my prayer would go something like this: and Lord, I pray that you will really speak to Paul this morning. Because God, you see the conversation we had, and we both know I was right. And so I pray that you will speak, that you will soften his heart to go my way. Okay? And if all of you say that you would never say that prayer, okay, we just need to pray for forgiveness right now. Because I can bet that most of you have said those kind of prayers. That actually, you know, God, will you deal with that person? Don't bother dealing with me because I'm just so okay. But will you deal with that person? All of a sudden, am I praying in line with God's character? Am I praying in line with God's desires and God's purposes? Or am I adding a few of my own? Am I adding a few of my own desires when I'm going, Lord, and if you could just break that heart of stone that doesn't want to do this song that I really want to do, or whatever it is. It could be something trivial. It could be something massive. I'm, you know, I know that I can use him as an illustration. But this morning, you know, when we come and we pray in tongues, actually what we do is we put our own agenda to one side and we allow the Holy Spirit to pray through us. So as I was praying last week, I prayed more in tongues than in English because I know that most of the time when I come with my feeble words, they're going to come out wrong. And so actually what I want to do is use a prayer language that totally and utterly agrees with God 100% of the time. Because I know when I come to pray, sometimes I say to God, and this is how I'd like you to do this miracle, Lord. I know that you know you know everything and you always come through. But if you could do it in this way and in this time, that'd be really great. And half the time we put our own agendas on there that God's going, listen, I've got it all in hand. Will you just be quiet? I know how I'm going to do it. And so when we come and pray and we speak in tongues, we pray in absolute accordance with God's character and his purposes because we're not praying with the mind of the flesh, we're praying with the mind of the Spirit. It's such a powerful thing that we can have at our disposal as Spirit-filled Christians. And secondly, about the prayer language thing, when we pray in tongues, the enemy can't understand a word that we're saying. I like that. You know, the enemy does not know everything, is not everywhere, and can't decipher everything. Okay, there's only God that has that. He doesn't. And so when I begin to pray in tongues, you know, when I'm praying, and Lord, I just pray that you'll just break that heart of stone. And he's going, great, I can just get in there and I can carry on this offense. Because I'm using her words now and I'm going to use her words against her. And I can get in there and I can just blow this small disagreement out of the water and it is going to cause so much damage. This is great. And all of a sudden, you know, over that situation, I begin to speak in tongues. He has not got a clue what I am saying to God. So all of a sudden, it disarms him. It actually disarms the enemy over your life because he doesn't know. I don't always know what I'm saying to God, but neither does he. And so this morning, the prayer language that God gives us is so incredibly important. John Bunyan said this, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the soul to God through Christ and in the strength and assistance of the Spirit for such things as God has promised. The assistance of the Holy Spirit that helps us to pray what we should pray. This morning, being filled with the Holy Spirit actually helps you in your prayer life. And then thirdly, I said there were three things. Thirdly, why should we speak in tongues? Because it empowers you to serve. Acts 1:8, I've already read this morning, says this, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. Do you know what? The Holy Spirit empowers us for purpose, not for feelings. And I think sometimes if we're not careful in our style of church, okay, if we're not careful, we deduce the Holy Spirit down to a feeling on a Sunday morning when actually what he wants to happen is for us to get something from him on a Sunday morning so we can go and serve him on a Monday morning. So we can take what he does in us and let it come out of us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, you know, this whole thing about being filled with the Holy Spirit is not made so we can have a nice feeling in church. It's made so we can go in power and live out what God has got for us tomorrow morning. Wherever you are going tomorrow morning, whether that be work or school or whether you stay at home with the kids, whatever, wherever you are going, whatever you are doing tomorrow morning, this is for you tomorrow morning. It's not just for us today in church. It's so actually we can go out. We can tomorrow morning, you know, as we're kind of getting up and you know, it's that kind of Monday morning feeling sometimes, isn't it? And we get up, we begin to speak in tongues. It begins to edify us. It begins to build us up for the day ahead. It's not about a feeling. It's about the purpose that we're going to live out tomorrow morning. And a lot of the time we bring it down to our feelings, and the feelings may be great, but if they are not accompanied by action, the Holy Spirit changes nothing. And the Holy Spirit didn't just come to give you a nice feeling. He came to help you change the world. He came to help you change the lives of the people that you're going to come into contact with tomorrow morning in your classroom, in your workplace, in your family, in your street, that person that annoys the heck out of you. The Holy Spirit has come so he can empower you to make a difference in their lives. It's not just about a nice feeling when we're in church. In Acts 2, it says that they were filled with the Spirit and then they left the upper room and affected the community in which they lived. Over 3,000 people were added to the church that day. In fact, that day they gave birth to the church. How many of us would want to stay in the upper room? Anyone dare be honest? We like the upper room, don't we? The upper room's nice. The upper room's kind of, we're all together and we all think the same thing and we're all experiencing the same thing. And what would have happened if the disciples had gone, let's just stay here. Let's get pizza in and let's, you know, let's just stay here. This is a nice place. We like this place. There will be 3,000 people that wouldn't have known Jesus from that one day. Peter preached probably one of the greatest sermons ever preached, and 3,000 people were added to the church in one day. The church was birthed. The things that Jesus had said to Peter all of a sudden began coming true. He said to him, Peter, on your confession, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And as he stood and he gave his confession that day, as he stood and he told people under the power of the Holy Spirit what God needed them to know, they got saved. And he gave birth to the church. The first church plant had 3,000 members. Every church planter would love that. You normally go like with your family and a guitar. Do you know what I mean? And you go and plant a church. How many church planters would have loved on day one, they get 3,000 people? I mean, come on. Yet a lot of us would have liked to have stayed in the upper room. It's not what the Holy Spirit's about. The Holy Spirit is here to empower you to serve where God needs you to serve. And this morning and this evening, I just know God wants to come and absolutely revolutionize some of our lives. So that tomorrow, maybe that same person that you've worked across from for the last 5 years, maybe that same person that you've sat with throughout the whole of your school life, maybe tomorrow as you go into situations that you might find difficult, actually what we do today is going to affect what you do tomorrow. Because if what we do in here doesn't affect who we are out there, then something is going wrong somewhere along the line. And so in about 3 or 4 minutes time, we're going to pray. And we're going to begin this experience. And we're going to begin to just ask God. And no one's going to do anything weird or wacky. We're just going to come and begin to ask, oh God, will you fill us with the Holy Spirit? Will you fill us with the Holy Spirit? And as God does that, the overflow of that, maybe that first evidence of what God is doing in you might begin to come out of your mouth as the power of the Holy Spirit begins to bubble and overwhelm you and begins to bubble out of you in speaking in tongues. But we don't just speak in tongues so we can say that we do it. We speak in tongues so that we can be empowered to serve, so that it will build our prayer life and so that it will encourage and strengthen us, so we don't always have to go to someone else to get that. But actually, we have a way, as we shut that door and we pray to God, we have a way to build ourselves up. We have a way to begin to overcome. As we go into those situations that are difficult, we go in knowing that we've got the power of the Holy Spirit behind us and in us and overwhelming us and overshadowing us. And so this morning, in a moment, we're going to pray and we're going to begin to ask God. And there is part of me that thinks this morning as we do that, why don't you begin to do what I did? Where you just say, come on, God. You know, and it's not even necessarily someone even praying for you. It's you just going, God, I'm here. I'm here. Holy Spirit, I'm here. You know, we're talking this morning about being filled with the Holy Spirit in our personal life. At some point, we will probably look at things like the gift of tongues, which is in for the church. It's not just for us, it's for the church. But what we're talking about this morning is different to that. Okay, this is about your personal life. This is about your life in Christ being full of the Holy Spirit. This is about you having an overcoming spirit that is leading and guiding you. This is about you being baptized, immersed, dipped into, overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, my thing to you is, do you want that? Maybe you were baptized in the Holy Spirit a long time ago and you constantly go back to that. You constantly say, I've had it once. Don't need to do anything else. Do you know what? This morning, I love the verse in Ephesians that says this, that we are to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not a one-time thing. It happened to me when I was 14 and now I'm not 14. I don't need it to happen to me again. You know, every single day I need God. I'm nothing without him. Every single day I can try so much on my own to be what God wants me to be. But when I do it in my strength, I fail. And when I do it in his strength, I succeed. And part of that is being filled with the Holy Spirit. So just as Rich is playing, we're not going to sing anything yet. If you're in here this morning and you're going, actually, I want some of that. Maybe you've been filled with the Holy Spirit before and you just need something from God again. That's great. Maybe you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, never been baptized in the Holy Spirit like I've talked about this morning. Why don't you stand where you are and we're going to pray in a moment. But just stand. You just begin to ask God. Because do you know what? Whether someone comes and prays for you, there's nothing special about someone coming and praying for you. God listens to you as much as he listens to me. I sat as a 14-year-old kid. There were leaders in that room that I look at today that are absolutely phenomenal. But do you know what? As a 14-year-old kid, and they were praying for other people and there were all sorts of stuff going on in that room. But as a 14-year-old kid, God listened to me as much as he did them. As a 14-year-old kid, probably sat around where Tina sat in the hall in which I was in. I sat there, I just bowed my head. I said, God, I need this. Just come and do it. I can't make my way out there, God. I'm not going to push past everyone. God, you come and you do it. And God did. There was no big name that came and laid their hands on me. And God listened to me as much as he would have listened to them had they have done that. So this morning, just as Rich is playing, if you want some of this, I want you to stand where you are. You begin to talk to God, and I'm going to pray in a moment. But just stand where you are, just giving a few moments for you to engage with God. And you begin to ask God, God, will you fill me? Will you baptize me? Will you immerse me in the Holy Spirit? Open your mouth, begin to ask God. then allow God to fill you. Jesus, the Bible said, breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. And then he said to them, in a few days, get together, wait together, because you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for us right now. And then we're going to sing this song. But I want to pray for us this morning that God will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Then when I've said amen, I want you to just begin to allow the Holy Spirit to not only fill you, but to begin to break out of you. So this morning, if you're with me and you're saying, come on, Holy Spirit, I want you to baptize me. I want you to immerse me. I want you to overwhelm me. I want you to come out of me, not just into me. I want us to raise our hands where we are. I'm going to pray. And then we're going to sing this. And we're going to believe that God is going to do something in our lives that is going to change us. When I got saved, God changed my behavior. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, he changed my relationship with God. Changed me more than any other single act has ever changed me in my life. So this morning, let's raise our hands together. We're going to pray. And then we're going to believe that God is going to do something in us. Father, God, the Bible tells us that we're to wait And when we wait, that God, you will show up and we will be clothed with power from on high. Father, the Bible tells us that John baptized in water, but there will come a time where you will baptize us in the Holy Spirit. And Father, right now, for every person in this place, Lord God, whether they've been here for years or whether it's their first time or whatever, Father, I pray this morning, Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will do what only you can do. Father, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that we will experience the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that this morning, God, there'll be nothing that we are putting as a barrier before you, but that, God, you will break down all of those things. God, all of those things that says this is not going to happen to me right now. Father, I pray we'll break down all of those barriers, and that in the name of Jesus this morning, Father God, you will begin to affect our lives. Will you fill us with the Holy Spirit? Will you fill us with the Holy Spirit? Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will begin to overflow out of us in Jesus' name, that it won't just be a nice feeling, but that God, this morning, the Holy Spirit won't stay contained inside of us, but that God, he will flow out of us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we're going to sing this, but if you're stood waiting for this baptism of the Spirit, why don't you open your mouth and just allow God to speak through you, allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you as we're singing this song. Come on, let's sing.